Will you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us and prepare our hearts and minds as we listen to your words. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When Pastor Stacy emailed me and asked me if I could preach for this Sunday, since Kylie will be having a cheer competition this morning, I said, yes, of course, it will be my honor to preach for you. And I asked her what the text will be, and she gave me the freedom to choose whatever text I wanted to preach on. But I asked her, I know you have a sermon series going on, so what was your plan? And she said, well, it's about Martha and Mary and time management. Now, foolish me, I said, okay, I'll challenge myself. I'll take that text to preach on. Not realizing that it is one of the hardest texts to preach on. And Claudia, being Claudia, she said, I need your title by Tuesday. That was last Tuesday. And the week before, I was busy with work. The following week, I was going to be at the Board of Ordained Ministry. I've been reading papers and grading papers and preparing for interviews. And so I emailed Claudia, Claudia, if I don't settle on a title, this sermon will never be written. So I gave her the title, Time Management, What's on Your To-Do List? What's on your to-do list? We have list of things to do, to-do lists. You go to a new city, go read the brochure, it will say, things to do when you're in Torrance. Things to do when you're in Florence. A new year comes, we sit down and list our to-do list, what we call our resolutions. So we have things to do. We list them down. We even have what we call bucket lists, things we want to do before we leave this world. So that's how we manage our time, by preparing to-do lists. And that is where we encounter the story that Rachel just read for us. Just 5 short verses. But in that story, we see several layers of lessons that we can find on time management. Now, isn't it interesting that wherever Jesus goes, controversy follows? In the book of Luke, Jesus gets invited to so many households for dinner. One day, as he was walking with his troop, he sees Levi, the tax collector, sitting at his table, collecting tax, of course. And he says, follow me. And immediately Levi leaves everything and follows Jesus. And then invites him to his household. So what happens? The Pharisees sees this and says, you know, Jesus, why do you associate with those tax collectors? Why do you always eat with sinners? Controversy. One day, a Pharisee himself invites him to a party. And while at the party, as you expected, Jesus goes, when you're invited to a party, you don't get to sit on the prime chairs. Go sit behind. Go sit at the back. Now, he was just a guest here, and he's lecturing the Pharisees and the guests and his host about proper manners. You call that proper manner? Lecturing your host? And then we get to this story. As they were walking towards Bethany, we know at this point in Luke's story, Jesus has already set his face on Jerusalem, knowing what is there awaiting him. On his way to Jerusalem, he stops by Bethany, the home of his friends. He had three very good friends in Bethany. There was Martha, her sister Mary, and their brother Lazarus. Now, Lazarus is not in this story, but as they were going along, they pass by Bethany, and Martha invites him and his friends for dinner. And we know what happens. Immediately as they arrive, then Martha starts busying herself in the kitchen, preparing dinner for her guests. Now, do we find anything wrong in that? I don't think so. When you have a special guest come to your house, what do you do? Of course, you prepare everything, and you want to make sure that everything is well prepared. The dinner is good, everything is ready. The plates that you've been keeping, you know, you put them out, place them on the table, and you do everything. That is normal for us today when we have a special guest. And that was actually more important in Jesus' time. In that time and in that context and in that place, hospitality was the greatest virtue. You have to be hospitable to your friends. We know that. The Jews knew that. Their scrolls told them to be hospitable to your guests. That's why Abraham became Abraham, because of his hospitality. That was so important in that culture that when somebody walks in and you invite them, you place them on the prime seats, you put water, a basin of water for them to wash their feet. And we know Jesus even did that himself. You know, hospitality was the most important thing in the Middle Eastern culture of that time. And so we know that Martha was actually doing good. She had a sister, though. And what was the sister doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, hanging on his every word. Now, we know Martha was doing what was expected of her. What was expected of Mary? Did we think that in that time, in that place, in that context, that Mary would be expected to sit at the foot of a rabbi listening to his every word? Of course not. Women in those days were not supposed to be learning in the first place. They were supposed to be serving like Martha was doing. And yet here was Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his every word, mingling with the other male disciples, and not doing anything, leaving her sister to be busy at the kitchen. And so what happens? As we know, Jesus is an invited guest. Controversy follows. Martha notices this and she says, "Jesus, do you not care that my sister has left me to do everything? Now tell her to help me." No. With that statement, she not only rebukes her sister, but she rebukes Jesus. And what do we see follows? Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are distracted with so many things. Your sister knows what's important. She chose the better part, and it will not be taken from her. 5 short verses. In those 5 short verses, a controversy throughout the ages has followed. There's always been a debate between women in the church, and not just women in the church, between those who do things in the church and those who apparently do not. It's important to do things. It's important to do outreach. It's important to clean everything in the campus. And those who do the work have always noticed those who don't. Those who stay in the sanctuary with their heads bowed down, praying or reading the scriptures. Debate after debate has followed throughout the centuries because of that simple story. And what do we think? Do we think that Jesus favored one over the other? If we read the whole chapter, chapter 10 of Luke, we notice that at the beginning, Jesus sends out 70. Now, we all think there are just 12 disciples. No, there were so many of them. He sends out 70 and he says, go and heal the sick. Go and preach the good news. Go and travel light. Don't bring any extra money with you. Just bring what you have and what clothes are on your back. Just go. And depend on the hospitality of those who welcome you. Depend on the hospitality. Jesus said that. And right after that, after the 70 came back telling their glorious stories, then we notice a lawyer stands up and says, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he goes, what do you read in scriptures? And the man goes, well, you love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and you love your neighbor as your friend. And the smart aleck goes, who is my neighbor? And we hear the story of the Good Samaritan. And after that, Jesus says, go and do the same. So do we think Jesus was rebuking Martha in doing good when all he did before that part of the story was tell people to do good and to be hospitable? And that is exactly what Martha was doing. Jesus only says, you are distracted by too many things. Your sister has done or has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. What is the better part? The better part for me is not being distracted by what we do. We have things to do. We want to do good things. We want to do everything we can to serve our God. But the one thing we must not forget is to sit at the Master's feet and listen to his word and learn from him. Why? It is because of that that our list of things to do will become better. The things that we do will be better and will be more effective, and we will be more renewed when we do those things. If we read the lectionary this morning, one of the readings is from Isaiah, where it says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. wait. Those who wait upon the Lord. Those who sit by the Master's feet and listen to His every word will do greater things and will list better things in their to-do lists. That is what I think Jesus was trying to teach Martha. It's not that she was not doing good. It was just that she was wasting time on being worried. Later in Luke, we hear that when Jesus says, "Can any of you by worrying add more inches to your stature?" No. A story is told of two lumberjacks who were at a competition. Of course, we know what lumberjacks are. They cut trees, right? Now, they were two lumberjacks in a competition. One of them was a young, well-built lumberjack, like Governator at his prime, you know, muscles. The other was the 60-year-old version of the Governator. Now, the young one said, "Oh, I've got this competition. I can win this handily. You know, I'm built, I'm everything, I have power, I can do everything. That guy is so old, he will not last." And when they were given the signal, he started cutting and cutting. He started cutting and cutting, and he did not stop. He said, he was always thinking to himself, "I have got this. This is mine." You know? And then he noticed that on the other part of the forest, you know, he would hear the other guy cutting, but also from time to time, he would not hear anything, just silence. And he thought to himself, "I really have got this. This is a no contest." He continued on. He went from tree to tree cutting. And at the end of the day, they were gathered together and the trees were counted. And you know who won? The old man. Now, the young guy was surprised and he said, "How can that happen? I kept on cutting and I could hear you cutting also, but you were stopping at times." And the old man said, "You know, every hour I pause for a while to sharpen my saw." We get too distracted by the so many things we do, and they are all good things, that we forget to pause for a while, sit at the Master's feet, and listen. And if we listen, our to-do lists will be better, because they will be lists that we have learned from the Master himself to do whatever we can for this world, to make disciples of all nations for the transformation of the world. The good news is, my brothers and sisters, our Master invites us to sit at his feet and listen. And may all the glory be for God alone, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.